Hello, and thank you for being a part of Retail Online Integration's inaugural webinar week, Christmas in July, preparing for the holiday season. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration, and the host of today's live webinar. This session is called How to Optimize Your Brand's Mobile Presence for the Holidays. Before we get going, I'd like to take a second to thank our sponsor, the Dingley Press, a commercial printer that's been serving the needs of catalogers for over 80 years. Please stay tuned at the end of the hour for a special freebie from the Dingley Press put together just for today's webinar attendees. For those of you that are new to our live webinars, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of your experience today. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's speaker. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Here to discuss the role mobile marketing will play for retailers in the upcoming holiday season, we have Kim Dushinsky, the president of Mobile Marketing Profits, a mobile marketing training firm. Kim is also the founder of the International Mobile Marketing Business Network, as well as the author of the Mobile Marketing Handbook, now available in its second edition. So without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to Kim to get things started.
Thanks, Joe. I'm really excited to be here, and boy, am I glad to be doing Christmas in July because it's been so hot here in Denver that just even talking about Christmas kind of makes me feel a little cooler. So that's great. I'm really excited to be here. So what we're going to talk about today is about optimizing your brand's mobile presence for the holidays. And specifically, we're going to start off with some best practices around developing and implementing a mobile strategy. I think you're really going to like this one. I actually made up a law, so it's going to be pretty fun. I like doing that, making up laws and such. We're going to talk about some of the key mobile marketing and mobile commerce must-haves for the holiday season, and I'm going to be sharing some ideas with you about some of the campaigns and ways that I think mobile marketing could really help your company throughout the season. And then we're going to answer the age-old question now, mobile website versus mobile app. Do you need a mobile website? Do you need a mobile app? Or do you do both? And we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about tips to get your mobile app downloaded and used. So obviously sort of that first one is tips the hat a little bit that if you're going to do a mobile app, that you're going to want to really pay attention to how to get it used. And then I've got several resources at the end that I will share for you on how to, you know, that will be helpful to you as you move forward in this. So here is my made-up law, the best practices in mobile marketing, and it's called the Law of the Cupcake. And, yes, this is an actual cupcake that I consumed. It was an orange dreamsicle cupcake. And it is an important part of what I'm talking about here because what you'll notice from this cupcake is the cupcake's pretty ordinary. But without it, that huge big pile of frosting on the top, the orange dreamsicle part, would be kind of icky. So it really wouldn't work all by itself. So that's the hint about what the law of the cupcake is. And, yes, it was really yummy. So the first component of this is that you need to bake your cake first. You need to really take care of the bottom line, fundamental, foundational strategies. And I bring this up because I see a lot of businesses that don't do it. And so even though it's really common sense to me, it seems, a lot of people like to jump into the frosting part. They like to get into the really cool, sexy, interesting mobile marketing tools that may or may not work very well depending on whether or not you're fully mobilized. And the foundational pieces of this are having a fully functioning, awesome mobile website. And the reason this is part of the cake is because you'll notice as I go through some of the examples and the ideas and things that your mobile website is just like your desktop website. It's the hub for your campaigns. It's really the center of what can happen. And it's also really important because it's about your customers being able to find you or interact with you on the tool that they're used to with your website. And so you want to make sure that you've got that handled, and it really is not in your control. The customers get to decide if they're coming in on mobile or not, and so it's really not an option. Mobile commerce, same thing. They're really predicting, I didn't put the stats right in front of me, but there's that big IBM study out that's predicting, 25%, I think is what it said, about how many, what mobile commerce will account for in holiday sales. That's a lot. That's a huge chunk of revenue that you need to be ready for, and mobile commerce is definitely important in that. And then the other one, which I'm hoping was talked about in the session yesterday as part of webinar week, is that you need to make sure that your emails are easy to read on mobile. It's very easy to get excited by the graphics and all the whiz-bang stuff that you can do in an email with the columns and the graphics and all that. And that just doesn't work on mobile, and so many people are reading their email on mobile that it really will hurt you. So make sure that you've got those things handled. Then, once you've got the cake done, then you can jump in with some of what I call the icing. So this is the fun stuff. SMS text messaging. By the way, just a quick reference, I do use SMS and text messaging as words fairly interchangeably. A lot of times people will say, what do you mean by SMS? Or, is it the same thing? So yes, I use those phrases interchangeably. And by the way, I'm a huge fan of text messaging, and I'm going to talk quite a lot about it in some of my ideas, because I believe that text messaging is really one of the most powerful mobile marketing tools there is. And yet, again, we sort of jump into, gosh, should we be doing the mobile web or mobile apps? And we sort of skip right over text messaging, which is, this is kind of an interesting thing, just recently, cameras, the camera function of a phone, has become the number one used feature on phones. The number two feature is text messaging, and the number three feature is calling. So that's just an interesting interesting stat there. Mobile web and mobile apps are about 40%. QR codes are pretty low. I think it's about 10 to 12% of people that are using them, although it's growing by leaps and bounds. And the stats that you see on QR codes are, mostly about the growth of it. But don't be fooled; they're still they are not as used as the mobile web, mobile apps, and definitely not as used as text messaging. And then the last thing that you can do in terms of the icing is mix it up with social media. And I want to make sure that people are clear on the distinction that social media is not a mobile marketing tool. Many, many people use social media on mobile. They're very highly integrated. They work well together. It's kind of like chocolate and peanut butter. But social media is not a mobile marketing tool. So that's, I think, is an important distinction. So the next thing that you want to do is really be paying attention to creating a coordinated offering. Now, I'm going to give you an example here in a minute of a really great campaign that I've seen. Really sort of a great mobile campaign. And what you'll notice about it is that it's like this puzzle piece. One leads to the other, connects to the other. They don't stand alone. So a great example of this is you would use QR codes and advertising to drive people to get your app. From within the app, you might send a push notification, hey, get on our text message list. From the text message list, you send people back to the mobile website for various things, or, hey, did you see this in the app? Don't forget we have this feature. So it's all about really thinking about sending people from one to the other, integrating, and that's the way that you're going to be the most successful with your mobile offerings. And I'm going to show you an example of this done really well here in just a second. The next part about the best practices is that you need to market your mobile campaigns. So you need to really integrate your mobile into all your marketing. It's very much a two-way street. So whatever you're doing with your, you know, if you do a mobile website, you need to link to it, you need to promote it. When you do an SMS campaign, you send an email out to get people onto the SMS list. You've got it in all your people's email signatures. You can put signs up in a retail environment. Signage in stores is huge. If you have an on-hold message for anybody that's calling in, any advertising that you're doing, any of your, you know, printed materials, and then also having, you know, your staff mention it. You know, did you see we have a text message campaign? Did you know we have a big Black Friday promotion coming up? Did you know that we have a mobile app that you can use to check out our Black Friday sales, et cetera, et cetera? So those are just some hints for some ideas. So let me walk through this campaign, which I'm calling a beautiful recipe. I'm following along with my cake scenario, the law of the cupcake. And this is an example from Michael's, the craft store. Now, this campaign came to my awareness as I walked by this sign that was in their store. Now, it looks kind of big in this picture, but it was an 8.5 by 11 flyer stuck into one of those plastic, you know, flyer stands, and it was right by the door. So I was literally on my way out the door, and it caught my eye because it's very graphically appealing. It's a really pretty flyer, done very well. Right away, I knew exactly what they wanted me to do, was download the app. They told me that it was free, that it works on Android and iPhone, so it's got all the pertinent information in there, and then they've got the code to scan it. So when I scanned the QR code, what it did was send me to the mobile web landing page. There's a big hint. Okay, so I'm gonna say one thing here. I'm going to take 1 second to stop for this. Please promise me that you will never, ever, ever send a QR code scan to a desktop site. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know why businesses continue to do this, because the only device on the planet that can make that little code do anything is a mobile device. So it makes no sense whatsoever that where someone would land is on a page that is not working for that device. Yes, yes, smartphones can handle desktop sites, but it's not convenient and it's not obviously there for mobile. So what it does is it sort of leaves the person confused. Am I in the right place? Is this for me? I have another example. I didn't put it in the slides, but where I scanned a code at a business and they wanted me to log in on their email form, and when it put me to a desktop site, then I had to pinch and squeeze, and every time I'd hit the end of one code, it would spring back to the full, you know, go back to the little tiny version of the desktop site, and then I'd have to zoom in again, and it was brutal. If I had not been trying to sign up just to see how the campaign went, I would have given up. But Michael's here did it right. What they did was they sent me to a mobile website where I could choose, do I want to go to the iPhone or Android app? Now, what this did was it let them put one QR code on their sign. They didn't have one for Android phones and one for iPhones, which could get confusing. People could scan the wrong one, and then they're going to get an error message. What they did was they just took out all the possibilities for error, and it went right to the site. Then I didn't mind at all that then I had to push a button really quick, and then when I did, bing, right away I'm in the App Store, okay? And now I went straight to the app, and success. So I literally went from seeing the sign, I was walking out the door, and I had the app then on my phone before I even hit my car. So in 3 clicks, by the time I got to my car, I had the Michael's mobile app on my phone. Really cool. That's the way that it should work. And the sad part about this is that I was so impressed by this because so many businesses do it absolutely wrong. There's so many places for error where you go to the wrong place, you send someone to the App Store homepage and they have to search, I've seen signs where they say, download our app, and then they have a little visual picture of the app, but nothing helpful to get to the app. Like there was no QR code or something. So a lot of people do this wrong. Now I've got at the very end a resource that I'm going to share with you about more about QR codes. And so pay attention for that. It's going to be really helpful for you on the QR code part. All right, so the Michael's recipe continues. So in addition to this great app, they also, I went to their website because I wanted to see if they had, a really good representation of the app on their site. And lo and behold, they did. They had a really great, they had the same image, so you could scan from the website to get to the app, or you could click on there, whichever you want. They also had a way to text in to get the app. Then you'll notice that at the bottom, that's where they had text alerts. So they also have a text message campaign that is offered on their website. And I believe that I also did get a push notification from their app about it, which they told me up front when I was downloading that I would get push notifications. So they kept everything, you know, on the up and up that I knew for sure that that was going to happen. That's really important with apps as well. There's a lot of talk about mobile spam, and it seems to always be in relation to text messaging. But you can be a mobile spammer as well if you're not really careful that people understand they're going to get push notifications. I've had, friends, they know I'm in the marketing business, mobile marketing, and they'll call me and say, you know what, I'm getting these messages on my phone, and I don't know where they're coming from. And I sort of walk them through it, and it turns out that they're getting push notifications from an app they've downloaded. And in their mind, it's spam coming in from somewhere. They're not sure where. And these are not these are not people who are, not tech savvy. So it really is important that you pay attention. And then as soon as they found out about it, right away they took the app off because they were not happy about that at all. So anyway, so the example here that you can see from Michael's is a really great example of the integration. Again, they've got it all integrated very well. So it's really obvious from the consumer standpoint how this is all going to work. Then they went ahead and did what I suggested, which even though they didn't know I suggested it, about adding in social media. So they've got all this same thing integrated in on their Facebook account, so their Facebook page. So you can sign up for the text messaging. You can sign up for, get the QR code. It's all integrated. Now, this was not an evergreen promotion all the time, but you will want to keep this in mind because this is the kind of thing that you're going to do for your holiday campaigns. So the ideas that I'm going to share with you around some of the must-haves for the holiday season and some of the ideas I have for campaigns, what you're going to want to do is take the idea and then you can, flesh it out with all your stuff, implement it, and then keep in mind that this is the ideal that you want to aim towards for how you're going to promote it. It's going to be integrated like that, really well done, and that's the kind of level that you've got to do to really make it work. Really, really important stuff. So I'm going to just take a peek if there's any burning questions that, let's see. Okay, I'm going to answer this one question here because I think it's a really good one. You don't mind, Joe, if I do that?
No, that's fine, Kim.
Okay,
go ahead with that. Yeah.
Okay, great. So this question is, does everyone need to use QR codes? What would be the reasons for its use? And I'm going to definitely answer that before we get going. So the reason, no, you do not need to use QR codes. The only reason to use a QR code is to drive someone from the physical world. What it does is it connects the physical world to a mobile presence. So it takes someone, in the Michael's example, from the sign in the store into the app store with a really quick, it's a quick way to get into there. You definitely don't need to do QR codes. You can do plenty of mobile stuff without them. But a lot of people like to know about it, so that's why I talk about it. And the reasons really are that it kind of attracts a little bit of attention at this point. I mean, QR codes are still new enough that it kind of lets people know that there's something happening. But the one thing that's really important is that QR codes are not used by everybody yet, so you always want to make sure to have an alternate possible way for people to do the action that you're describing. And in the Michael's example, what they have is on that slide, on that flyer, they have, go to the app store. So they're giving you an alternate way to do it without scanning the code. So no, everyone does not have to use it. and you would use it as an add-on marketing part to drive some of your other mobile campaigns. So I hope that answered that question. All right, so the other one is some of the other questions I see are coming up in the slides, so I'm going to hold off on those. All right, so let's talk about some of what I think are the key must-haves for the holiday season. And the approach that I'm taking is not necessarily a tools-based approach, so I'm not going to be talking about, you know, you've got to have this, that, or the other thing is related to tools. But it's really more about the timing. So what I'm talking to you about are three must-have mobile campaigns as related to Black Friday. I think that is definitely the kickoff part for all of your holiday season, and it should be the kickoff for your mobile campaigns because it's really your chance to solidify in your customers' minds that you are available to them on mobile. It's really the place where you can put your flag in the mountain and say, we are here, we are mobile, we're available for you, we're helping you out. And even if your customers are not, you know, even if for the people who don't come in on Black Friday, they're still going to be understanding that you're mobile, so it can kind of sink in on that. I know there's sort of Black Friday shoppers and anti-Black Friday shoppers, so and then you've got the regular, what I call regular holiday shopping, which is really everything between Black Friday and the last minute, folks. So from Black Friday to, you know, December 23rd or whatever, that's sort of the regular holiday shopping. And then there's the last minute, folks. So anyway, all right. So what I'm going to do is share with you some ideas I have for these campaigns. So I'm not saying that you must have this kind of, you know, this exact campaign. What I want to do is share with you some ideas that I have that I think would be helpful. I think that a text message campaign would be an excellent thing for Black Friday. I happen to be a Black Friday shopper. I'm out there early. My daughter now is a teen, and she loves it. It's sort of become a family tradition. So we're out there, you know, 5 a.m. I told her I'm not going any earlier than 5, but anyway, I also have family members and friends who say, no, I'm not doing it. I may go out later in the day, but I'm not getting up at 5 in the morning. And so what I think would be a really great campaign would be to have the ability for people to sign up to get something from your company, your business, about your Black Friday offers, and they could sign in and get on different keywords. So you could have the early birds, so the folks who are up at 5 are going to get a message at 5 because they're, you know, they've basically logged in, you know, opted in and said, yeah, I want to know what's going on, keep me updated. Maybe you're going to have a special that's going to come out that's only going to be available, a mobile coupon that's only available to your text message subscribers. And the reason this is important is, I mean, you know it as well as I do, that what happens is people plan out their Black Fridays on Thanksgiving, and they make the, you know, they decide where are we going first. And the where are you going first is really critical because I have been, you know, a few years, we have not necessarily made it down the line to our second and third places. You know, we get in there, we start shopping, we find everything we need, and boy, all of a sudden that one really cool thing that's at the other store doesn't maybe seem as exciting now that I'm kind of tired and we're going to just go home and take a nap. So you want to get people in right away. So this sort of a thing where you've got a text message campaign that's going to, you know, or a coupon that they know they're going to get early could be the matter of them getting in to you being their first call versus another. And that's sort of a way to also get people in is by having, you know, having something special that they can do. We're going to talk a little bit later about the fact that we did already talk about you have to market all this. So you need to make sure that you're going to, when you do this, you're going to have in-store signage, you're going to send it out on email, you're going to put it in all your advertising, you know, hey, sign up for our Black Friday text campaign, which you're going to call something, you know, better, not that exactly. Another thing that I think you really want to do is do what you need to do to get in the Black Friday shopping apps, either having one yourself or being included in one. This one is the most popular one on Android. I don't know about iPhone. I don't have an iPhone. But this one is actually called Black Friday, and it is it's powered by Deal News. And my daughter and I both use this app. I have it on my phone. I use it once a year, one day a year, and yet I still leave the dang thing on my phone. So that's kind of interesting. And by the way, it showed me today, I took this screen capture today. Excuse me. I took this screen capture today because I wanted to have it fresh, and it's 120 days till Black Friday. Scary, isn't it? But I think that paying attention to this sort of thing would be really, really powerful because the Black Friday shoppers are taking a look at what's out there and what this does too. Remember, it signals to them that you are playing with them in the mobile space. And then the last part I think about Black Friday that is really important is to make sure that your customers know that you have a mobile-friendly website and mobile commerce. This is your chance to, again, really seal it in that not only are you offering what they want for the holiday season, but that they can get it from you wherever they are. And I think that's really important with how many people are using mobile for their shopping, whether they're in the competitor store, if they remember, oh, yeah, XYZ company has a mobile site, or they have an app, or they have a text campaign. That's the kind of thing that can really help bring people in. And, of course, you know, having the ability for people to do what they need to do, i.e. shop, on your mobile presence. So I think that's really important in terms of your Black Friday campaigns. Now, switching into the regular holiday shopping, now, the Black Friday stuff is a one day, it's quick, it's, oh, my gosh, you know, you've got just this one little chance. And people on Black Friday are looking for deals. They're looking for, you know, what am I going to get today? They're trying to get ahead. I mean, that's the feeling of it. It's the early sensation and deals. Once they switch into regular holiday shopping, the key is about being organized. So whatever you can do to help people be organized is really the key. Because people's mind shifts. I mean, yes, they still want deals and whatever, but now it's all about, you know, how do I, you know, what do I need? What's at a certain store, and how can I get what I need? So your marketing shifts into that mindset. I have searched for the last couple years for a really good Christmas shopping organizer an app that I could put on my phone that would really help me with everything. And I have not found a great one. I really have not. I sort of resort back to putting my old Excel spreadsheet back on and just accessing it from my phone. So I think there's a really good opportunity if you were going to do an app that I think instead of it being a commercial for your business, if you think about that, having it be a tool that they can use to be organized for shopping, branded by your company, your business, with your products available would be great. But again, it's really about helping people thinking about being organized. Switching into the idea of alerting people of special deals based on their preferences, this again goes back to your text message campaign. So if you launch your texting campaign around Black Friday, make sure people understand that they are going to be on your whole holiday text list. They're not just getting texts on Black Friday. Make sure you market it correctly. Then what you can do is you can have people respond back to get on different keyword lists, based on what they might be looking for. You can have people sign up for, preferences on the different types of things they like, and you can have several different campaigns going. These are some examples of texts that Michael sent out, keeping with them on the theme. This one is they had sent one out about Father's Day in 2 weeks. Start on a gift Dad will love, and then, some Michael's projects. Now, and then linking into their mobile website. So this is the kind of thing that you can and do with text messaging, and this really puts you, in their pocket, in their space. So instead of looking, and this is where I think mobile is really great, instead of always thinking about advertising where you're doing all this stuff where you're just trying to capture people as they happen, wherever they happen to be looking, listening, this is a way for you to go right into their, their world, based with their permission, of course. Nothing text message is ever done without explicit opt-in, which, of course, your text messaging companies will help you with that. But everything's permission-based, and it really does help you sort of stay top of mind with your customers. Another thing is to reward their loyalty. So the people that are shopping with you throughout the holiday experience, this is a great way to using mobile to reward them. Now, this is a company called Business Apps that is an online app builder. So if you decide that you are going to do an app, and if you're not going to, and I show this because it's sort of the low price option for having an app done. If you're going to build an app, you're going to need a developer, and if you're going to do a really robust app, you're going to have to go with that route. But if you need something that's an app that is for a smaller business, or maybe you just aren't ready to develop yet, it's going to be next year by the time you can, do a big app, this could be an option. But they even have a built-in loyalty program that works right within the app to reward people for being loyal and repeat customers. So that's something I think that's really important in the regular. Now, the last minute, I don't necessarily have a ton of ideas, specifics and examples, because I'm not a last minute shopper, so I don't have anything that's come in for me. But what I would suggest is that the feeling of this is be there when they need you. So it's switched now from, the urgency, one day deals, la la la, we're here, to I'm going to help you keep organized, to okay, I'm here, you need me, let's get this done so you can get on with your, get on with your life because the holidays will be over soon. That's the feel of your mobile campaign after that. I think that if you have a text campaign going, what you could do at this point is send out a text saying, are you done shopping yet? And then people can reply yes, that they're done shopping, and you then send them a, congratulations, time to relax, put your feet up, and, we'll see you for the after holiday sales. We'll see you on the 26th for the sales, and then you leave those, leave those people alone. If they say no, then you know that they're your last-minute shoppers. So this is a way that you can segment your list as you go down throughout the your text messaging throughout the season. And then the ones that say yes, then you could, send them to a mobile place on your site that would be, a page for last-minute shoppers. These are the things you can order. These are some suggestions. Have it categorized by, the gift person or whatever. And that's a way for the text to be a link, a lifeline, if you will. Hey, if you're not done, here is a link to where you can buy right now and be there when they need you. And the same thing to do with a mobile app, push notifications on a mobile app. But the text message one, again, is, I think, so powerful. Can you see how having a text message campaign going throughout the season could really work throughout the whole time, and it really does get you direct into your audience's life. All right, let's press on the mobile web, mobile app, or both. Now, you probably already know it's both, of course, but let's see which one you need to do first. And I think you probably already know this one as well, because I already said that the mobile app is the icing and the mobile web is the cake. But here's why. They're different tools for different jobs, very much so. That's why I really hate that question, which one should I do, the mobile app or the mobile web? That's like saying, should I use a screwdriver or a hammer? Okay, well, what do you need? What do you need done? And then you choose the tool. So a mobile app is software that people will download and use for a purpose. There's something that it does. There's a function that it provides. A website is something that people go to when they need something. So it's for you, it's about being found or driving people to it from other places, like a QR code or a text message or advertising, or signage, so that people can perform, can do something. But they might not necessarily put your phone, put your website on their phone. I mean, we don't all download websites and put them on our phones. That's the difference there. So here's my bottom line. Every business with a website should have a mobile version. And then, if there's a compelling reason, then go ahead and build an app. Because the mobile web is really universal to any phone that has mobile web access. Text messaging is actually the tool that works the best on all phones. Every phone will do text messaging. Only smartphones will do web access or high-end feature phones. Even then, it's pretty painful. And then only folks who download apps can get the ones that you built. So here's a graphic example. It happens to be from last year, but it's still, you know, valid even though things have shifted a bit. The reality is that if you were doing an app, you are doing it for a percentage of the cell phone users, and then within that percentage, you only reach a percentage of that percentage. So an iPhone app, well, yes, iPhones are quite popular. They're wonderful, great phones, love them. Everyone doesn't have one, even though you sort of think they do, maybe based on your circle of friends, they really don't. So if you're going to do an app, you have to do one for, at the very least, Apple and Android, and even then, you're leaving out a huge percentage of your customers. So that's why I like the mobile app first. It's really, really important, or mobile web first, excuse me. Because it's universal. And then I just wanted to share this, the business apps as a potential web builder if you don't need a developer. If you need a developer, you're going to be able to find a really great developer, you know, looking, or, you know, that's not a problem. You can find that. This is a solution if you don't need a developer. So I'm not saying don't build apps custom. I'm saying if you can't or don't or won't or whatever, this is an option. Now, building the app is only stage one. If you're going to do an app, you want to get it downloaded and used. Because otherwise, it's just a big waste of time, and of course, you knew that already. So let me give you the big secret to an app that will be successful or can be successful. I won't say this is the only thing you need to do to be successful, but if you don't do this, you will certainly not be successful. And that is that your app has to have a reason for it to be used again. Now, a lot of businesses get kind of confused, and what they do when they start an app is they sort of build their website all over again as an app. And that's really the wrong thing to do. I mean, you definitely want some of that information that's on your website, on your app, but it's got to do more. There has to be a function that makes it something that someone would want to put on their phone that they're not going to just ignore. And that part of it is really not at all about the how it's built or anything like that. This is the strategy. This is the reasoning. You don't want to build an app unless you know there's a reason for people to use it again and again and again. So what I suggest you do is do what I did and take a look at your own apps. You know, what do you keep on your phone? And the categories here. So entertainment, information, you know, what's happening. It can be information about your store and sales and things like that, but it's not likely that people are going to keep an app, you know, year round for just for sales. So you're going to have to add more to it. What else do they want to know from you besides what's on sale? You know, think about fashion tips or events or things like that that might be of interest to people. Using an account. It may be that you have an account or some sort of thing that they want to keep track of. That would be helpful. Finding something repeatedly that may or may not work for, depending on what kind of store you are, but like Redbox, you know, I keep that app on there because I'm constantly wanting to know if the movie that I want is at the Redbox near me, wherever I am. Checking in. That's not likely that people are going to, you know, have an app of yours to check in, but it's possible. And there are the, like, Shopkick is one where people check in to retailers. So that could be a way for you to participate in an app without having to build your own, is by piggybacking into other people's apps like that. Productivity. This falls back into what I was saying about the holiday shopping organizer. If you can have an app that will keep people organized for their shopping, that would be great. That's a productivity play. And then loyalty program, if there's a way to for them to check in on loyalty with you, that would be great. So I want to share a couple of resources here, and then we'll be opening up for questions. So make sure you've got some of your questions submitted. So the first resource I want to share with you is really pretty cool. There is a mobile app marketing company called Fixu. I'm sure, I think that's how they say it. That's how I say it in my head. It looks like that's how it is. But they have several free ebooks that are pretty content-filled for information. So about Google Play and how to get loyal users and things like that. So these are some pretty good free resources there for mobile app marketing. And if you have not yet downloaded and read the Mobile Marketer, their classic guide to mobile commerce, I highly suggest you do it. It's a free guide, and it has a ton of really good information about it. It is on Mobile Marketer. I just put up this link, so it just redirects you into the exact link for Mobile Marketer, but it's at immbn.com/mcommerceguide. Or you can also go to Mobile Marketer directly. The other thing I would suggest is if you're going to do a lot with mobile, get on the Mobile Marketer email list. They send an email out every day with 4 or 5 really good stories. I mean, they are the cream of the crop on mobile marketing news, you know, especially for retailers. They have a lot of really good information on mobile. It's well worth it, and you can learn a lot from that. And then I will give a very quick shameless plug for my book, The Mobile Marketing Handbook, which you can find on Amazon or bookstores around. I think it's also a good resource. And then the last resource I want to share is one about QR codes, which I call mobile action codes. This particular site calls them 2D barcodes, which is the technical name of them. But I also like the phrase mobile action codes a little better. It's just a little bit more descriptive. And they do cover on this website all kinds of mobile action codes. QR codes are just one type of them. Snap tags and Microsoft tags and B, and there's a whole bunch of them. But QR codes are the ones that seem to be the most prominent. But this is a great resource because there's stories out about showing QR codes, what works, what doesn't. There's best practices on there, which are also actually in my book. I have permission to print them into, put them into my book. And this is the fascinating part about the site, is that he has done what he calls a litmus test. Roger Marquis runs this site, and he reviews mobile action code campaigns, whether they pass or fail. And you can see that when I took this screenshot, it was 93 versus 36. When I say most people are doing QR codes wrong, it really is true. So if you're going to do QR codes or mobile action codes of any sort, be sure to check in here. So that is my presentation. I'm going to go ahead and let Joe jump in and start asking me some of the questions.
Great. Well, thanks, Kim. That was a very insightful presentation. So I just want to remind everyone in the audience that you can submit your question to Kim using the Q&A box. So we have a couple questions lined up, and we have some time here. So the first question is in reference to your Michael's example. In your opinion, what kind of price range do you think that Michael's app cost to have that app created?
Well, I don't know exactly. Let me see. I'm going to just open it up on my phone while we're talking here because I want to see what all they've got in there. I would say that the typical range that you can expect is between $5,000 to $10,000 as sort of a starting, you know, function. It really depends on how many functions you have, how special it has to be, you know, how complex does it have to store any data. Such like that. So, for example, this one, you know, I can, as an app user, I can store projects and lists. So it's probably a pretty, probably on the higher end of that because it does a lot and it does store data. So, that's sort of the standard range. It may have been more, I don't know.
Okay. And then sort of another question we have around a little bit around pricing. It's what do you think the costs are associated with creating an app from an existing desktop website for easier mobile shopping?
Well, okay, so that question is a little bit it's got a couple of things in there that kind of pop to mind. Okay, so first of all, you don't necessarily put a desktop website into an app. You would put a desktop website into a mobile web. I mean, you can buy things out of an app, but probably the better thing is to keep it as a website. You know, keep it in the mobile web world. I don't build apps. I don't. That's not my thing. But I would say again, it's around $5,000 to $10,000 for creating an app. If you look at the business apps feature, I think it's $39 a month. So there is an option, and it's more powerful than you might think. It will integrate with a lot of shopping carts, so you can integrate mobile commerce right into that. So I would say start there and see if that sort of a function would work for you. And if it will, then you don't need to jump into the $5,000 to $10,000 programming.
Okay. Next question I have here is, do you recommend segmenting smartphone users from tablet users? And then sort of a follow-up to that, if so, then do you recommend marketing to these segments differently? And if so, how?
Well, I mean, I don't know that people are necessarily one or the other. I mean, I have a smartphone and a tablet. I would get text messages on my phone, not my tablet. I would have the smartphone with me on on Black Friday. I'm not bringing my tablet with me shopping. So yeah, you definitely do segment a bit in terms of what you're thinking of, but you're not going to find someone who's, I mean, you would find people that are smartphone only, but that may or may not last. I mean, they're going to get a tablet at some point. So it's not necessarily that's going to work. You don't necessarily have to do a different site for a tablet versus, the desktop for the most part. I mean, if you've got a really complicated site, you may develop specifically for tablets, but for the most part, your desktop site will work on tablets. I'm trying to think how else you might segment. I mean, if you're going to have an app, yes, apps are different that you would use for tablets and smartphones in some cases. I mean, you have to think about whether people would take it with them all the time or whether they would, mostly want to use it when they're, sitting at home. I don't necessarily think tablets are actually mobile devices because I don't know that many people that take them with them everywhere, but they do get lumped into the category, so you have to kind of think about that. Ask a follow-up question if I didn't quite answer it because I'm trying to figure out how you would segment exactly.
Okay. And then another question we have here is, what are some ways that retailers can use their mobile sites and apps to drive in-store traffic?
Okay, well, that's a good one. Well, apps are, for the most part, with the exception of push notifications, which I think that a text message campaign is a better use if you want to be pushing than an app. Apps are really sort of there if people remember to use them. So, again, you've got to make sure that what you would do is have something that's good enough that people would want to remember to use them. And in the holiday example that we're talking about, you almost have to market to people to get them into the apps, and then the apps, it could be things like a picture. See, that doesn't necessarily work for all retail, like a retail shopping. Like it works for restaurants or, places where there's some reason for people to want to take their picture. I mean, I don't think about going into my favorite clothing store and taking pictures of me in their clothing store and that being fun. But it certainly could be, at a restaurant. Take a picture of you and your family with your favorite pizza, upload it onto our apps or whatever. But that's not really the app driving you into the store. I don't know that apps do that very well. If somebody has a thought on that, chime it in, put it in the question thing. The mobile web is a little bit different because where that comes into play is that people are doing searches for things. So they're actively searching for somewhere they can buy something or something. They're looking for your store or some, whatever. So they're doing a mobile search. If you've got a mobile site, you're more likely to come up in the mobile search results, and then people being able to find your mobile site, see that you have a mobile version, having offers and compelling things going on the mobile site can drive people into your store. Here's another thing. This is really basic, and you might think, well, duh, but it's true. make sure that on your mobile website you have your location and your hours very easily found, because if people are on your mobile website trying to decide, should I make a dash to get over there before they close, and it's 8 o'clock and you close at 10, you don't want them not knowing that and assuming you're closed. So, you know, have your location and your hours prominent and easy to find on your mobile site, and that can help people find you. I mean, mobile sites can drive people into your place of business through just simply being smart about what you put on them.
Okay. This attendee wants to know, how can you use PR to drive interest to a mobile website or app? Any strategies that you think you could use?
Well, yeah. I mean, at this point, PR could certainly still work for apps, because there's still, especially online and print maybe. I don't know that you're going to get featured on the Today Show or something, but you could. It's about being useful. It's about the app being good. I mean, PR only works for things that are interesting. No one's going to cover an app that is, you know, hey, this app will tell you when to shop at XYZ place. You know, I mean, that's not going to work. You have to have something cool and compelling. You can share statistics about how many people use it, or find a story about how your app helped someone. So let's say someone downloaded your app and, it really helped them in some way. You could feature a customer use of the app in PR. The key to PR is to be interesting.
Okay. Next question we have here is, how can retailers integrate their mobile site or their mobile app into the in-store shopping experience?
Right. Okay. Well, it's about the link from the physical world to the mobile world, so you can have signage that could explain to people how they could use their app. Download the app and get this. Download the app to use this feature. I mean, it's all about telling people in the store that they can get the app and what it will do for them. It's about education a lot in terms of, people need to know that you have the app and then what it will do for them. So, again, it comes down to the functionality of what it will do and then putting it in front of people's faces. This does sort of bring up the whole concept as well of, people shopping on mobile, from the aisles of your store and buying it on someone else's, virtual shelf. And so that can definitely be a good reason also to be highly mobilized, because if they're going to be doing that, you want them to find you. If they're searching for something that you sell, you want them to find you. And they may be in somebody else's store shopping on your mobile site, or they could be, in your store looking, and they get, run right into your mobile site again. So it's about communication and educating people on what they can do and how it can work for them.
Next question we have here is in regards to merchandising and for your mobile site. What's your thoughts on merchandise? Do you recommend adding your entire product catalog to your mobile site, maybe only offering a scaled-down version of your product category, product catalog? Can you talk about what you think is the best way to go about that?
Well, there's sort of the answer of what's easiest to build, and then there's the answer of, what may be the most helpful to consumers. I mean, I don't know that you're going to know exactly what people are going to want to buy on mobile. There's been some interesting stories about people, like, buying high-end stuff via mobile, like furniture and things, which just shocks me. But I don't know. I think that if you can and there's a way to integrate it smoothly through your shopping cart or some, the features of the technology that you use, I would say put it all on there, because you never know what people will want. That also sort of weighs with, is it going to be a useful site or not? Is it going to be so big and cumbersome that when people start using it that it won't work? I think if you're a big enough retailer that you have a lot of merchandise, you're going to have a web team either on staff or that you've hired out that will be able to sort of help you address some of the technology-based questions around that. Again, I think it's sort of a weighing between the consumer being able to find anything they want versus, you know, the site working, functioning well.
Okay. Next question we have is in regards to product videos. One of the audience members wants to know, do product videos add to the buying cycle in a mobile website, mobile app environment?
That's a great question. I would think that yes. I mean, if people want to watch a video and you can give them a way for them to see the video through mobile by, you know, putting signs up that say, you know, scan this code and you'll see the video, or a little sign by an item that you're trying to move in particular, linking them to a video, that would be great. I think one of the things that would be helpful is to remember to keep it simple. So if you have you can do a QR code or put on a sign a link to a YouTube video. That YouTube handles all the technical back end of the video working on mobile, and you don't have to worry about all of that. But if you're putting video inside apps and then people have to download the app in order to get to the video, and you see how you sort of layer on the technology, which may not necessarily, you know, people are just busy, oh, forget it, I'm not going to try to download the app to get to the video, but they might just say, oh, look, I can see this on YouTube right here. So yeah, I think that's a secondary lesson there of keeping things simple.
Okay. Next question here is in regards to mobile checkouts and point-of-sale systems in-store. Where do you see that future going? Do you see that in the near future being a necessity for retailers? What are your thoughts around that area of mobile checkout?
Yes, it will definitely be a necessity. It's kind of interesting how some people are pressing on. I read an article in Mobile Marketer about JCPenney's going to all mobile checkout by next year, by 2013, and I thought, wow, that seems fast to me. I can't imagine, you know, my stepmom going in. I mean, she does, you know, I think there could be people that are not really able to do physical or, you know, mobile checkout, so that could be, you know, that could come too soon. At the same time, I think that it will come maybe sooner than some of us are ready for. In some places around the world, paying via mobile is quite common. So yeah, I think it will come, and I think it will be pervasive. I don't know that by next year is really quite when it will settle in.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time for today's session. I want to first off thank Kim Dushinsky for her efforts. And then on behalf of Retail Online Integration and the Dingley Press, I want to thank everyone for attending today's webinar. As I mentioned at the beginning of our presentation today, as an added bonus for webinar attendees, the Dingley Press has recorded an additional 20-minute webinar to give you that extra leg up on your holiday planning. The Dingley Press's session is called Mobile Apps for Catalogers, New Ways to Engage, and you can access it via the link displayed on your screen now. If you don't have time to watch it at the moment, we'll also send you a link to it in our post-event follow-up tomorrow. And as always, be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. Also, if you would take just a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we'd be grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. So lastly, I just want to thank you again and hope to see you all at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Thanks, everyone.